Mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, the 6th chapter of St. Luke, the 36th verse, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." I often think that some of the most consoling passages in all of Holy Scripture can be found in the book of Psalms. I think, for example, of these words in Psalm 145. "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." His tender mercies are over all his works. And then there is that marvelous passage in Psalm 103. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." Now, as Christians, we believe that everything written in Holy Scripture, not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament, finally points to Christ. And we never rightly understand anything in Scripture until we see how it is related to Christ. The book of Psalms was the prayer book of God's ancient people, Israel. Therefore also, the book of Psalms was the prayer book of Jesus. He would have heard the Psalms in the humble home of Mary and Joseph, in the synagogue worship, and in the temple. And it was passages from the book of Psalms which came to his lips as he suffered and died on the cross. From Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? From Psalm 69, I thirst. From Psalm 31, into thy hands I commend my spirit. In fact, understood in a Christian sense, the whole book of Psalms is in fact a portrait of Christ, of the one who without ceasing praises the Father, of the one who walks in complete conformity to the Father's will, of the one who suffers the hatred and hostility of those who hate the Father, of the one who triumphs over all his enemies. For in Jesus we see the Psalms come to life, not least in those marvelous passages which speak of the tender mercy of the Father. Jesus is God's tender mercy in the flesh. In the Gospel for this day, Jesus says, "Be merciful even as your Father is merciful," and goes on to say, A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Jesus is God's tender mercy in flesh and blood. Jesus is the exact image and likeness of the Father whose tender mercies are over all his works. And if we are to be disciples, students, followers of Jesus, our lives too must be marked by that same kind of tender mercy. Now, nobody needs to be told that we live in a world today where tender mercy and compassion are in very short supply. The history of the fallen human race is so much a history of the failure of mercy and compassion. Even we Christians find that tender mercy and compassion in short supply, not least when we sit in harsh judgment of other frail human beings just like ourselves. How easy it is to see that speck in another's eye by failing to see the log that is in our own. I think that one of the great Christian laymen of the last century was Gilbert Keith Chesterton. We usually refer to him as G.K. Chesterton. Chesterton had a remarkable talent, not only for setting forth the truth of the Christian faith, but also for demolishing specious arguments against it. And I have to say that I almost never find myself disagreeing with Chesterton. But I do disagree with something he has to say toward the end of his book, Orthodoxy, a book in which he sets forth with such conviction and imagination and life, that astonishing truth that God himself once lived on this planet in an out-of-the-way province of the Roman Empire. Well, this is what I have my problems with. Chesterton goes on to say of Jesus, who is God in the flesh, these are Chesterton's words, "There was something he covered constantly by abrupt silence or by isolation. There was some one thing that was too great for God to show us when he walked upon the earth. And I have sometimes fancied that it was his mirth, God's mirth." Contrary to Chesterton, I believe that we do in fact see God's mirth in the life and the words of our Lord. Just think for a moment of the comparison he presents in today's gospel to make the point that we frail human beings have no business judging the motives and the hearts of other frail human beings. Isn't there something funny in the comparison? Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself don't see the log that is in your own eye? If you picture that, I submit that it is really rather funny. And then just one other example. This was the time when Jesus asked the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well to call her husband. And you remember what the woman said. She said, I have no husband. And Jesus replied, this you said truly. You have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. And I like to think that our blessed Lord said that with a twinkle in his eye. We say of the eternal Son of God that he is the one through whom all things were made. He is creator with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And I submit that even a cursory look at creation shows something of the mirth of God. In all the astonishing creatures that God has made, more than we can imagine. God delights in his creation. He delights in you and in me enough to go to the cross for us that his mercy might be ours forever. So with all due respect to G.K. Chesterton, I submit that in Jesus, God's mirth was visible. As our vicar reminded us last Sunday, our God is the God of joy and of mercy. And so we give him thanks now and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.